This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS and KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Nick Kaufman is our first to say hello on the stream. Jason gives us our first whoop. It's good. It's nice.
That's what the Bigfoot says.
That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
That and David.
David.
Oh, let me see if I can play that. Today.
Okay.
Wait, you have a...
David. David.
That's the Bigfoot.
He articulates well.
He does.
Like a nun. Yeah. David.
Yeah.
Should run for office.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we found there really are big feet?
Yeah.
And they're smarter than we thought.
And they need glasses, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
They would dress better than Fetterman.
Oh, well, yeah. Did you ever see that movie? The movie about the Bigfoot family?
Yes. I made it halfway through.
Bad?
Yeah. It was not what I was looking for.
Harry and the Hendersons?
Not Harry. I've seen that twice.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, because it was just silent and just this family of Bigfoot living out there and eating bugs off each other and doing all the bodily things that one does.
Yeah.
But that was it. So I think people liked it from an artistic standpoint. It didn't affect me in that way. So halfway through, I'm like, I've seen enough of this.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if it was any good, actually. I don't have much of a desire to see it, but
yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm intrigued about the thing. I just don't know if I want to watch the thing.
Yeah, I don't think you'd enjoy it.
So the probably idea not. Of watching it is intriguing, but actually watching it, not so
That's
much.
Right.
All right.
That's kind of how he is with events or like going to things. Like he's intrigued by the idea of coffee, but not so much that he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it were free and you have absolutely nothing else to do, it's worth it just to see how long you make it.
Okay. It's an endurance test.
Yeah, you're like, oh, surely something will happen in the next 10 minutes.
I'm guessing it didn't do, like, box office well.
No.
No, it was a bust from what I understood. But yeah. I don't know how much they put into it. I mean, like, it's just a bunch of people in Bigfoot suits in the wilderness, right?
You got to come up with a name for me.
What?
Of the movie.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I think Jesse Eisenberg's in it.
So he is. Yep.
Look it up that way.
He is.
Why would you cast anybody of note to do that?
Squatching.
It's called Sasquatch Sunset.
There you go.
It is a 5.4 on IMDb. Wow, it's
out of
a
six?
72%
awesome.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it is?
That's crazy.
Let's see if that's critics or if that's users. That's, 72% by critics and 31% by viewers. So,
well, the viewers just don't
normies,
get it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think it was intended to be avant-garde.
Wonderful.
Yeah, which I'm not a big
so avant-garde. So kind of the art in the way it was like taping a banana on the wall art.
Yeah, a lot like that.
Yeah.
A lot like that.
So stupid.
I uncharacteristically got a little smart with someone today. I just don't do that.
Oh, you snap.
You should.
And I know I should. My life would be so much easier. Rach and I were just talking about this today at lunch. That she and I are both way too nice and people pleasing. But it was such a simple thing. So Phoebe's never going to hear this because she doesn't listen to the show, but I ordered her flowers for her birthday, which is next week, and went through a florist in Lawrence, where she lives, and filled everything out, and I didn't know her number off the top of my head, so I just put in my number for her and me, and then I get an email that says, urgent, we need her number. Or we can't do this. Like, we cannot deliver these flowers. It was like, it was on, it's like urgent was all in caps. It's like, okay. So I look it up on my phone. I get it. I send it to them. All good. And then almost immediately, I get another one that says, urgent, we cannot deliver this bouquet without your email. They were emailing me this. And so I answered, I'm like, you just emailed me.
Good man.
And they came back and they said, oh, is this the email you want to use? Well, are you psychic? Like, how did you have it? You had it because I put it down. I don't know. It just, like, it was such a small thing, but it's like, how do you make a bouquet of flowers stressful? Why would you do that?
I mean, wasn't it like back in the day you could just call the florist and say, deliver it to this address, please? And they would say, yes, here you go.
And it worked every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. Like, I'm getting multiple urgent emails on these things.
We need the email address that we're emailing you on, please.
Right.
Dude, congratulations. They earned that.
Thanks.
Is this really so they could just put you in their marketing blast thing so that they want to send you a...
Oh, I'm sure that's why they want people's emails. Yeah. So they can keep
and phone numbers, because I get a lot of text messages from, here's one I really don't like, and Amy and I were talking about it the other day. Where if you put something in your cart, you're looking on a website, you go, oh, I like that. You put it in the cart, and then you leave the site, but they already have your phone number and your email. You'll get a text message like 15, 20 minutes later that will say, oh, are you still thinking about this?
I don't even need, there's a company that, it's a clothing company, doesn't even need to be in the cart. If I click on a pair of trousers, about eight on my computer, 8 minutes later, 5 minutes later, I get a text. Hey, were you looking at these trousers? I'm like, well, yes, I was, but how did you get this number?
Yeah, it's a little really much.
Weird. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's every much. Time. This company is every time you go to their website, you're going to get a text if you don't buy
it. Does it rhyme with Shmamazon?
No.
Because, I mean, anytime I search something on Amazon, not only do they remind me of it.
You get a text?
But I'll see graphics like when I pull up ESPN.com, that thing that I search will be in the top banner.
Well, no, that for sure. But I'm saying an actual text with the specific item I clicked on. The Amazon ads on any web page, whether it's a news website or your email, Gmail, whatever it is, that I've had a lot. This clothing company is the first time that I've gotten texts immediately after being on their website.
It's a little invasive.
A little.
If you're wondering where Andrew is, believe it or not, he's not only out sick again, he's out sick with the same thing he had.
What?
The same symptoms.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was throwing up again all night, and he didn't sleep, and he has a terrible cough. So it's a lot like it was last time. But intervening there was him being back for a few days and going to Chicago. And I was just saying to Rach, like, I don't remember ever getting back-to-back sick like that. Where you just had a few days in between.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
Because either he's still sick and was just able to go to...
Or
he got a new thing at the
Which is legit
Magic
possible
Con.
When you're around tens of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or he just got well enough to go spread it to everybody and came back and symptoms came back. Poor guy.
That sucks.
Yeah, so he was miserable. He said he didn't go to bed at all last night.
Ugh.
He's got that bucket going again.
Oh, bro. No. All right, what's what is the incubation on that, 48 hours?
Yeah, I'll make sure he takes off tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're all counting down.
Yeah. We got to do this again?
Like, did we make it past the threshold?
That man's a vector of disease.
Yeah, we're not, like, sharing a car with him, but, like, being in here, I know it's not literally hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
But you feel like someone's got something, you're going to get it.
Well,
it doesn't always go that way, though. We didn't. None of us got it the last time.
Yeah. Here's a ruling for you guys. I don't know if you saw this story. I saw it on Drudge. This couple is taking a long flight from Australia to Italy. And during the flight, this woman goes to the bathroom and she's walking back and she collapses and dies. And so they try to move her to the front of the plane, but she's too large. She's a very big woman. and they can't, so they just sit her next to this couple. And the couple's wanting to be moved, and they don't, so they have to fly 4 or 5 hours with a corpse like literally next to them.
This is the Qatar Airlines story, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I will say this, and I can't remember if I interviewed him or not. A good friend of mine had this happen to him. He sat next to a corpse for 11 hours on like a flight home from India. And he said, yeah, it's just they kind of put a blanket over it. And I'm like, no, 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 no. This can't be right. It's like, no, this is right. I sat next to this dead body. I'm like, this can't you like close a bathroom, like stick them in the bathroom? And I thought long flights had a closet for dead bodies, to be honest.
I did too.
I thought they had a closet where you could shove them in there just to get them out of the way until you get home. But at any rate, I'm so horrified by this. And it happened to a good friend. Like, literally, he sat next to a dead body.
And I guess they didn't want to admit any sort of fault by saying sorry, but they didn't say, we're sorry, or here's a free flight somewhere, or here's a coupon for Chick-fil-A. I mean, it was just like, see ya. And they had to wait until everyone left the plane, and the authorities came in and handled the corpse before they were even allowed to get out of the aisle. That'll change.
Oy. Yeah. How do you not move the
couple? There's got to be a better protocol for that.
How do you not move the couple, though? I mean, like, I get it. You're in an airplane. There's only so many places that you can put a body if something like that happens. I understand that, but how do you not have a place to move two people in an entire airplane?
I just could have sworn. Did I make this up about the dead body closet?
No, I thought that, too.
Why did I think that on really long flights there's a closet where you can just stick someone?
I thought they put them in the overhead.
Well, that would work too, depending on their size. I would close a bathroom. Close a bathroom and stick them, close the lid to the toilet, sit them down,
is that
strap
less,
them in, and then go about your business.
I guess that's less, I don't know, is it inhumane to do that?
No.
Or is it more inhumane to make people sit by
it? It's more inhumane to make them sit by it because the people sitting by the dead body are alive. The dead body is not.
I just don't get, like, go to the last row, clear the last row, body goes in the last row. Like, it can't be that.
What do you do with those people then?
There's got to be jump spaces. Seat? There got to be, I mean, well, first of all, there's already one empty seat somewhere because that lady had one. So there's at least one seat somewhere else. Right?
Well, no, that would be her seat.
That was her seat.
Right, but it wasn't. She wasn't in their aisle, right?
I think so.
Oh, I get you.
They returned her to her seat.
I got you.
They just had the bad luck of sitting next to her.
You got to find a way to
drag
move.
Drag it to the back or something.
Somebody's got to. I mean, that doesn't seem like it's that complicated.
When they make the announcement, this flight is completely full, so please nobody die.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to put them if they do.
Rach, could you do it?
Sit next to a corpse? Probably not. Yeah, I'd probably be pretty upset by that.
Well, I mean, there would be people who would just suck it up and feel very uncomfortable for several hours. But then there would be others who would just say, I absolutely cannot sit here.
There were empty seats on this flight. The guy that was stuck there said that they did not offer them to move to empty seats, even though there were several spare seats available on the flight.
That's when you just have a panic attack and say, I need to move. Because I could, like, thinking about it now, I could see myself, I feel like I could never, ever do it. But let's say they said you absolutely have to, I'd probably have a panic attack.
Actually,
I'd probably just feel good
message on the text line. Pamela said the flight attendant should have to sit there. Yeah. You get to sit where they sit on takeoff
and
landing.
Seats. Yep.
And then a flight attendant sits there when it's time to land. That's fair. You're literally on the job. You should be pleasing the customers. That should be the play. But there were open seats, though. So, like, what's the argument against letting them move?
I mean, if they don't have the corpse compartment, they need one.
They do need a corpse compartment.
Take up. So you're going to sell three fewer seats on every flight, but this won't happen.
They call it the corpse apartment. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
That's pretty bad.
I'm very sorry.
Hey, on a lighter note,
yeah,
we did talk to my pilot friend earlier this week, last week, and he said, when you flush the toilet on an airplane,
yeah,
don't flush it while you're sitting down because your bottom might get suction cupped to the toilet.
That's a good safety tip.
Because it's a quite a lot of suction.
I've never sat down on a plane toilet.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah.
You do the hover?
No, I've never had to go.
No.
Like
okay.
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
I totally forgot.
Some boys, of us stand.
Boys, yeah, boys and girls.
Anyway.
Yeah. But if I had to number two on a plane, I might hover.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was airtight.
That's not quite, you mean the suction?
No, like the seat. I figure there usually like some space.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, not saying your pilot friend's wrong, but that seems like a pretty bad defect.
Yeah.
Well, I always close the lid and then flush because it's like.
No, that's a good point. You're supposed to do that at home. You're supposed to anyway.
At home. Do it at home too. Especially if you're one of those people who keeps your toothbrush out.
Google
not
toilet
covered.
Plume.
Yeah, the toilet plume.
Okay.
Yep.
Just close your lid before you flush.
Helpful hints.
We're helping
people. Hiroshima.
Yeah.
There you go.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 125. Happy Tuesday. I had a weird but sweet interaction with my kids last night. So, Wheels, I don't know if you ever feel like this. Probably not because you don't have any anxiety. But the thought hit me, and of course I knew this, but the thought hit me that if we all live natural lives, I won't be there to be with my kids when they're old. Like, I've been with them every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that they're going to go through something without me is weird, right? It's just like every single generation does this. Unless you live to be 150, you're not going to be there when your kids are old. And I really thought about it and sort of chewed on it for a while. And then I sent them both a text. This is the dad I am. And I said, hey, I've been pretty effed up about this thought, but I want to let you know that the thing that gives me peace about it is that I am beyond sure that, and I am, that you two will be very, very close your entire lives. Do you feel that way about your siblings? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that a wonderful feeling mm-hmm. just to know? Because a lot of families aren't like that. You have sibling rivalries or they're just estranged from the family. And I know Nick and Phoebe will be good. Like, you know that you and your siblings will be good. It's a wonderful thing to have.
It is. Sometimes, I mean, this is me, because like my dad said, if you have nothing to worry about, you'll invent things to worry about. And I always feel like I'm too close. Like, I love them too much. I'm like, I want to die first because I can't take this. Like, I can't. I mean, I've just been too fortunate, right? And you're too close. And my family is my world. And that's how I feel, where I start to feel panicky, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They're my best friends. Yeah. And they're like, well, that's selfish. I was like, I know. It's very selfish, and I'm okay.
I've seen it before, and I don't get the math on it, but like one sibling will be there for all the funerals, and one will not be there for any of them.
Yeah.
So
I'll be probably that one because I'm the oldest. The one that's not there for any of the other ones for the siblings.
Well, that was one of the things that really, really made my mom sad at the end. She died just shy of 97, and she outlived everyone. Outlived my dad, my brother, all of her five siblings. Like,
yeah,
you know, we've all felt alone at times, but when most of the people that were close to you are gone, like that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's living in 97, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's partly why it's weird. I know this is probably the weirdest, not weird, but the Wheelerest thing ever, but I'm glad I'm not going to be around when my kids are old. I mean, I don't want to experience that. I don't want to experience.
Yeah, that's pretty selfish.
No. I mean, like, there.
Wheeler and I are both like, thankfully we died first.
Thankfully we did.
No, I mean, like, I don't want that feeling of watching that happen to my kid.
No, I don't want it either.
And I don't want them to go before me.
No.
So,
So it has to be Ronja's meteor.
That's
where
it
takes out everybody.
The meteor has to take out.
Nobody feels left out.
The asteroid. Right. It's an asteroid that takes out everybody.
What song is that? Oh, there's you guys know the Billy Joel Vietnam song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodnight Saigon.
Right. Goodnight Saigon, where he's thinking, we'll all go on together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 133. We are streaming and reading your comments at YouTube and on Facebook. Thanks for streaming. Thanks for podcasting. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of that. Another little fun thing. Apologize so much if this is family and a little bit emotional. This one's pretty light, though. And you've seen things like this before. I think we've even talked about things like this before. But last night, I really kind of went down a rabbit hole about it. The classic DGS wizard comes down and says, I'm going to return you to your childhood for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Any age you want, any activity you want. What would you choose? And I really thought about this last night. And I had these Zen things that I did, like shooting baskets on my basket at home. I could do that for hours and be happy as a clam. Similarly, playing catch with like Brad Wells, hours. Grounders, fly balls, talking about girls, just heaven. But I decided that what I would do is I would take one last ride on my mini bike down the alley. And then I would go to McDonald's with my mom and dad. And the reason for that is a little bit deep because I had a complicated relationship with my mom and dad. I would love to see them in their 40s with 60-year-old eyes who've raised kids, as opposed to 12-year-old eyes who are just scared and
that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Anxious and nervous.
Yeah.
I would love to spend time with them. I would love it if I could say, like, hey, I'm actually 60 years old here. Let me ask you guys some questions.
Do you have to pretend?
I don't. It's your fantasy.
Oh, I got you.
But that's what I would choose. One last mini bike ride. People online, tell us what you would do for 1 hour. What about you guys? Rach, you got anything that pops into mind?
Yeah, I like what you said, though, about your parents, though. I think about that often. I'm 33 now. When my mom was 33, I was 5. Like, just imagining having a 5-year-old and, like, I don't know, like putting myself in her shoes. It's an interesting thing to think about. So I'm glad you brought that up and that other people's minds are on that type of thing. The first thing that popped in my head as far as like if you could go back, I mean, just speaking of family, like I love my brother so much and I don't get to spend as much time with him as I'd like. So I would definitely want to like go back to maybe when I was like 8 and he was 10. Those were like some good times.
Playing the creek.
Well, we had these, after we built a house, we had these big dirt piles that we would play on. And that was like the most fun I've ever had because I love playing in the dirt. And then you have like two huge piles where you could, it's like your kingdom. So that would be pretty fun. I mean, maybe that's depressing to say I would go back in time and play in the dirt, but
that's awesome.
Pretty good times. Or just like the peak of like my Pokemon days. That was just magic in a way that I really can't describe. Like, I remember we went to Burger King and they had, for the toy, they had the Pokeballs, like plastic Pokeballs. And holding that in my hand, I was like, I am unstoppable now. Like, this play pretend game is going to go crazy now. So, something like that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wheels.
What are we defining as child? I have different
classic
answers.
Wheels.
So, like, is high school not count, or do we want to go younger?
No, whatever you want to do.
Well, because as I think about it, though, like, the coolest time might have been, I don't know what specific day, but like when I was a senior, that's the only time that my life included my parents and both of my siblings, because my sister was born when I was 18. So anything before that doesn't really include everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, those things are cool, but I don't know that I have a specific thing. I mean, might be that first hour they came home with my sister. That was pretty cool. Like, we're all there. I'm like, oh my God, there's a baby, you know, but it was neat. Like, it was kind of an experience that is not normal for a high school kid. Like, I mean, it happens. It's not like it's never happens, but it was pretty cool. I don't know. I might pick something in that, unless we're talking about being a little kid.
JR says, I would go back to high school. We would have won state if the coach had put me in.
I could throw a ball over those mountains.
No doubt. Abe, got anything?
Good job, JR.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of moments. It was super young with this, but we used to like babysit while my parents would have work things, right? They'd have work events. And so my older sister and I would babysit our two youngest siblings. And after they went to bed, we'd make popcorn and smoothies and play Monopoly and watch movies. And that was so much fun. But what you said, like going back and seeing your parents with 60-year-old eyes and seeing them when they're 40, I think of my dad would play the guitar. And again, we were really young, and he would play this song, what he called Oh, What a Special Day. And the chorus was like, oh, what a special day. And then each verse was the kid making up like what we did today. Like, today I was on the Glover show, like that. And we would run around and jump on my parents' bed, which was a king size bed. And it was the only time that we could really just sanctioned jump on the bed and sing and dance. And we would run around and sing and dance and sing, Oh, What a Special Day. And it was, I mean, when I say it was just like so much fun, it was like a party.
I love that. But what I'm thinking is I would have had a heart attack if that happened one time. Like, if my dad started singing and he's like, now you tell me about your day. I'd have been like, whatever I did, sorry.
Yeah, that wasn't happening in my house
either. It was so
dad
much
didn't get
fun.
Out the guitar.
He got out the guitar. We'd run and jump on the bed. Like, no. Oh. What a special day. It was just like so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I didn't know things like that happened.
You know what that means.
It's like, this is the Brady Bunch.
Mine
was a whole lot more
Bunch.
Of I'll give you something Dude. To cry about.
That is some Little House stuff, man. Damn.
Jumping on the king size bed. I mean, so my brother wasn't born yet because I was 10 when he was born. And so like, you know, I would still want memories with him too, but that was maybe 5 years old, 6 years old. Yeah. And it was like a free pass.
Ron, that's a tough one to follow.
Yeah. My parents used to just make me plow the fields, you know? I get to do none of this guitar
singing
stuff.
Singing and dancing.
And then I'd say, Mom, Dad, whose fields are these? They're not ours. I'd just be out there plowing fields. Honestly, I think it's funny what you said, Dave, about, you know, looking at your parents through adult eyes. And I'm thinking about mine, who they had a 25-year-old when they were the age I am now. And I can't even, I can't even fathom that.
Wow.
Like to have a 25-year-old son right now.
Yeah.
It just, it doesn't even make sense to me. But if I had to pick a memory, it's probably like a, one of the earlier Christmases.
Good one.
You know, where everybody's around. And probably the one I got the Nintendo.
Yeah, because
that was a fun one. The NES. The original NES.
What game was your first one you cracked out?
Top Gun.
There you go.
Oh, it was probably Super Mario because it was in the box.
Yeah, say that one.
But I also got
it.
Top
yeah.
Gun.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, my mom and dad always came through on Christmas. Like that was
mine too.
Very special mine to too. Them.
Eric says, Amy, tell us more what it's like to live in a Disney movie.
Oh, I didn't even get into like waking up on school days and my mom would have a fire going and cinnamon rolls and we'd sit downstairs in the family room and do school. Oh my gosh. Like
what in the hell?
She would make cinnamon rolls and like I'd work on, you know,
like
math.
That was Christmas morning, dude.
Every morning was Christmas morning.
That was I started to tell a Christmas morning story. Now I'm not.
Well, Dave, you had your classic Christmas cereal.
Yeah, right. I had to eat cereal before I opened the presents.
Oh.
And I was always so nervous, like my spoon's like.
Oh. How fast can I get there?
Yeah.
Was it special Christmas cereal or just regular cereal?
No, bran flakes.
I bet Amy's parents gave her a mule when she was plowing the fields. I didn't get one of those.
A mule?
It was a singing mule.
My dad was so odd. He had these sayings that made no sense. And when he would get mad at you, he would pull one out. So,
okay.
Take it easy.
Think about it for a couple of
so, seconds. Like, you do something, whether you deserve to be in trouble or not, and he would yell something like, looking right at you, shoot low, Luke, he's wearing my hat.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of his big ones.
What does that mean?
You tell me.
Is that a Cool Hand Luke reference?
No, I don't think so. No.
What?
Right, because they don't want to mess up the hat.
Yeah,
they still want you to be taken out.
Yeah. They ought to call you Maytag because you're such an agitator. That was another big one. So, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know there's quite possibly a whipping coming. But first, you have to go through this nonsensical.
So, would you go back to that time with your smartphone and be like Googling all those things? Well, what does this mean?
Well, I wish I could go back and have the guts to go, what the hell are you talking about? Just for once, flesh that out for me.
It's got to be a movie reference.
Which one?
What?
The hat?
Yeah, the hat.
I'm sure it's a Western thing. Because if someone's wearing your hat, you want your hat back, but you don't want it messed up, so you don't want to shoot them in the head.
That part I got.
Yeah.
I just didn't know why that had to do with me breaking a vase.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
I have no idea what that means.
How did he get the hat, too?
Yeah. Amy, one time my mom and dad went out of town, and they had the only expensive thing they had in the house was this one vase.
Oh, no.
And I broke it playing ball in the house.
Oh.
So I decided to bury it in the backyard, which I did. But I left the shovel sticking in the ground.
Come on.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So it took them all of like 8 seconds to pull in the driveway and spot that one and disinter it.
Had you not left the shovel, would there have been a suspicious lack of grass in that area?
Oh, yeah. They would have walked in and immediately seen that the vase was gone and there's a freshly dug grave in the back.
Right. Maybe the cornfields would have been a good... Just fling it out there.
See, I needed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need that devil on your shoulder.
And I distinctly remember burying it and being like, oh, that's that.
No trouble for me.
No way that comes back on me.
Out of mind.
Never find this.
Eric says, compared to Amy's childhood, I was neglected for all of mine.
What in the hell is going on over there?
It's like Mary Poppins.
Well, Dad used to get out the guitar, and we'd write songs together. What?
What is just a... I got 100 on my test today, and I'm a little to break.
It's so true.
What the hell? But you know what? It's the rest of us who are weird.
Well, you know, I will say, I would always tell my... my students, like, you know, never trust anyone who peaked in high school, right? Like, you don't want to peak in high school. But I will say, I might have peaked before that. I don't know that life got any better than what Dave and Donna provided.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty special. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all downhill from here. Well,
we all have that to compare to now.
Let's just go get some KFC and deal with it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 151. Gail says, would a script be required to watch you on YouTube? That's no, correct? You can just go to YouTube and watch. Okay, there you go. Randy says, hey, DGS, I get it. How can I get a DGS t-shirt to Florida? Would like to get my hands on something from the show. By the way, love the lives, blah, 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 blah. Don't everyone ask for this, but Randy, since you asked, give us your address. We'll send you one. Rachel's so mad.
Don't give it in the comments, yeah, though, because you'll tell the whole world where your address is.
Send an email. So he's talking to us on Facebook. The email address is up on the Facebook.
There you go. I like promising things other people have to do.
It's nice, isn't it?
I hate shipping things. That's why I'm bad at returns. If I have to return it to an online store, I much prefer a brick and mortar. I will drive 45 minutes to make a return before I walk a half a block to make a return at the post office. I don't know why.
Want to hear a fun fact about Dave?
Yeah.
I've never once returned an item in my life.
Oh, man.
I love to return stuff.
Do you?
Yeah, it's I feel like I've accomplished something.
Hmm.
Oh, it feels like accomplishment, but man.
Even though I only have to do it because of something that I did, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's a response to myself, but I do feel accomplished when I return things.
Well, I got to do the opposite. I don't know what you would call it, opposite of return. I did the self-checkout at Target 2 days ago, and I bought some like plastic containers, like storage things, and because they didn't fit into a bag, I set them on the side after I scanned them, and then I left. So I paid for them, and I don't have them. So now I got to go back to the store and say, check your inventory. You'll see.
I could never do that.
But I want them.
They're going to go through their inventory for
you. But that's what I mean. They just have to believe me that I paid for it and left it there.
You got a receipt, right?
Yes, I have a receipt, but I never took them with me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but at least you show them.
Well, I can show them my receipt. They're going to say, how do we know?
Honor system.
I left a bag at the grocery store the other day and got home. And it contained a couple of things I really needed. And I'm like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
And I went back to the service center and they were sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, I left a bag and it has XYZ in it. And the guy looks in it and sure enough, it's exactly that. So either I'm a psychic, you know, or and he still was like, I need the receipt. And I'm like, I threw the receipt away on my way out. I always do. It was a bit of a thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can walk in and name what's in the bag before they even open it, I think you're probably the guy.
Quite a scam.
Yeah.
I have this guy that's shown up on my TikTok who claims that he was a former floor walker for Walmart. Anyone ever heard of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they sit in their cars and wait until someone is walking into the store who looks like they're going to steal, which he says are typically unkept people, especially wearing pajamas. So if you're wearing pajama pants into Walmart, if you don't get a cart, and if you're taking too long in any given aisle, and so these people will walk in and pretend to be shopping, but they'll be going down every aisle that you go down and just watching you. And evidently they have like several floor walkers on call all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're with a family, you're less likely. And if you look... like if you pull up in an expensive car and you're dressed nicely, they figure like, this guy's probably not going to take anything. So
what do they do if you are stealing? If they catch you stealing?
He hasn't talked about that.
No, they have to notify someone else. I don't think they can do anything.
Is it that there are blind spots in the stores, but there are eyes in the sky at every Target, Walmart, mall, like watching everything you do.
Remember when I got accused of shoplifting at Radio Shack?
When was this?
Chesterfield Mall when I was in high school. I was so pissed.
What did they think?
Probably
you pills?
I don't know. My friend and I were in there and we were looking around and then we're leaving and the guy came out from behind the counter and said, hey, can I have you guys stay here for a second? Yeah, what's up? And he said he thought that we were suspicious. And then he went and got security. And I was mad about it.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're accused all the time of stealing or whatever, you'd probably lose your mind, flip out on somebody. I was ready to do it then, and it's the only time it's ever happened to me.
One of the meanest things I've ever said to someone, I was at a grocery store in Collinsville. I used to live over there in law school. So I'm in law school. I'm as poor as I've ever been. I was going to buy cologne because I had just been going and rubbing the magazines on my face before going to clubs, and I got caught. And so I picked up some cologne. Then I decided not to buy it, so I put it like in the shoe section wherever I was. So on the way out, they stopped me, and long and short, they accused me of stealing cologne. And I said to the guy, who was like 30, what did I say? The shoes I'm wearing cost more than your car. Because I was I was in law school at WashU, and I was all full of myself. My shoes were worth $8, so it didn't even make sense. And I said it, and the guy, I remember he looked at me like, I should be offended, but it's so stupid I'm not. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's the only time I can remember ever saying something that hurtful. And it wasn't, because it was so dumb and clearly not true.
Now I go to stores and act suspicious so they'll frisk me.
Wear pajama pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.